Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody, on a Tuesday morning of the Rod Peterson Show, coming at you from the bunker out here in Western Canada, where the sun's trying to come out. As we do every day here, we talk about the sports that matter to Western Canadians, and that includes the CFL. And there was huge news today out of Toronto. Can't say we didn't see it coming. As a matter of fact, I think we somewhat predicted it on the weekend with a tweet that the house cleaning started with the Argos. Jim Popp fired as general manager, replaced by Mike Pinball Clemens on this Tuesday morning. And John Murphy, our old buddy John Murphy, formerly of the Riders, Stamps, and Bombers front office, he's been named part of the management group of the Argos moving forward. And we're going to kick that around a little more here in hour two. We have been recognizing famous number 90s, and it's a fairly eclectic group, Darren DuPont. Welcome back to the bunker. Yeah. Actually, this is your first
time
appearance today.
Yeah.
Did I use this one before? If I'm Yogi, he's Boo Boo.
No, that's the first one.
I was wondering if you were going to forget
Yogi
to do
Bear.
That.
No, but he wasn't. Yogi, Boo Boo. I'm Yogi. I don't know. That's the ranger over there, Marshall.
Yeah.
Who's number, got the picnic basket?
Yeah, picnic. There you go. Hey, Boo Boo. Number 90, Joe Juno, Javon Kearse, DeMarcus Lawrence, Brent Hawkins, somebody brought up. Great name there from Rider history. All these comments here, just to reset in hour two, Doug Brown writing in the Winnipeg Free Press this morning, he's the Bombers Hall of Fame defensive tackle and radio color guy there, that the Bombers not acquiring a quarterback prior to the trade deadline is akin to them raising the white flag on the season. And I'm with Doug. I'm stunned that the Bombers have come out and said, we're good at the quarterback position. Now, things change, of course, in pro football. That might change ahead of tomorrow's trade deadline. But I want to get you guys' thoughts on that. Craig Dickinson versus Chris Jones, by the way, somewhat timely in that we watched Jones's Cleveland Browns get stomped last night on Monday Night Football. Here's what I think, by the way, on that. Baker Mayfield is not a primetime player. If it's a regional game and nobody's watching, he's lights out. If he's playing on Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football,
yep, 0-for-2 on those two.
And I mean a massive swing.
Yeah, yeah, you think about the big stages, those, you know, primetime games and the season opener, which is, I know maybe wasn't on the big network or in a primetime slot.
He looked great.
But that's still a big, important game, and he was bad.
Well, they won, though.
No, they lost to
Tennessee. Oh, they lost to the Titans, that's right.
So you think about it, yeah, the big moments.
Right. So that's my take on what happened last night with the Browns. But Craig Dickinson now has the Riders at 10-4, and you've seen all the coverage. It's the latest they've been in first place on the calendar year since 1976. Pretty cool.
Lancaster and Reed.
Right. Well, you got to go back a ways to talk about that. What's he done right versus Chris Jones? And not that Chris Jones did anything wrong. Chris Jones, and Marshall and I will always agree to disagree on this, but you can't disagree on this. He left the Riders better than they found him. Fair?
He left, in one sense, yes. The Riders roster, when Chris Jones left, was better than the Riders roster when he got here. So, yes, he deserves at least some of the credit for that. Or some combination of him and Jeremy O'Day deserve some of the credit for that. And I think I said on last week's In the Huddle or one of the programs in the last couple of weeks, I said that I think Jeremy O'Day deserves some of the credit, not all the credit, but some of the credit of the talent that was brought in over the last couple of years of the Chris Jones era. Now, Chris Jones is the one that seems to get all the credit for that, but I think Jeremy O'Day deserves at least some of the credit, and he deserves all of the credit for what's happened since then. So, yeah, he did leave the team in better shape. But the other negative side of it is he left the team in a bit of a lurch in terms of a coaching staff when he left, because at that stage, all of the coaches had been signed for 2019. And with the way the salary structure is now for coaching staff in the Canadian Football League, if they had to let all those coaches go, they would have had to pay them all, and they wouldn't have had any money to pay any new coaches they brought in to replace them. So in that sense, he left them high and dry, but from a roster perspective, better than when he came.
Right.
Dan in Regina writing in Prairie Mobile text line regarding some famous number 90s. He says Seahawks defensive tackle Jaron Reed and Jadeveon Clowney from his days with the Houston Texans. So we take those texts as we roll along here. If you would like to recognize your favorite number 90s. Darren, because all heck hit the fan with Jim Popp being fired in hour one, that's where we spent most of our time. There was something I wanted to bring up with you. The Pats are home tonight to the Edmonton Oil Kings. It's First Nations night. Did you see the news release come out on the NHL WHL watch list?
Yes.
Did you read it?
I did.
So for this, Marshall, for those that don't know, before the Central Scouting Bureau rankings come out for the draft eligible players, they do this initial watch list. These are the players on our watch list. Yeah. And what are the categories? A, B, C,
yeah,
and we've got our eye on more. So, yeah. 21 of 22 teams had a player on the list.
Yeah.
Well, am I remiss in that the Pats didn't have one player on the list? I'm not trying to catch you here.
No, I know,
but it's, yeah, that's not good.
No, but it's early too.
Okay.
And you look at last year's numbers and you look at a whole bunch of things when you put the players to watch list together. I know you're talking to scouts and you know who these players are, but the rankings are going to change a lot, I think.
Fair.
They have a really good idea when you're talking about A and B rankings. Those are your first, you know, few rounds.
And the Warriors had a bunch on there,
yeah,
four, I think.
A C ranking is 4, 5, and 6. Yeah, the Warriors have a great young group. They got a lot of good young talent. I mean, Damon Hunt kind of is the leader of that group, but there's a lot of good young players. The Blades had two. I thought Kyle Krinkovic maybe could have been on that list, and there's players from the Pats who could be on that list too. But they'll prove it as they start to have good years now. It's tough when you're 16 coming into the league, your first year, you're maybe not going to have that point production, and you're not going to have that impact. So maybe you don't hit the radar, but that value of a summer that I talk about, now they come out at 17 years old in their draft year, they could completely come out of nowhere, so to speak. So the Pats know who they've got. They know they've got guys who potentially can be drafted.
Well, I know I'm
changing, they're in a rebuild.
I'm changing sports for a second to make my point, but was Tom Brady on the watch list when he was at Michigan?
No, but we're talking about selling tickets.
199th.
We're talking about,
yes. Yeah, okay.
No, I know.
I understand your point.
I'm talking about how much winning did Michigan do when Tom Brady was there? I don't know. My point is the Pats, because I've been going back and forth with the Pats fans the last 24 hours. And before I go any further, Clark has written in here. Clark, who spent the last few years with the Pats organization, producer Clark, writing, Daniil Gunshin was a European draft pick, and Ty Smolanic is a third-round pick from a couple of years ago. Both have not reported, but both are technically part of the organization. So they were on the watch list with other teams. Is that what you're saying, Clark? So they could have been, but they didn't report? That's fair, but I'm just talking about going to the games now and looking at these trades last year, dealing Jake Lecicien and Nick Henry to Lethbridge, but really came back. Because you're supposed to set your team up when you make a deal like that.
Yep.
And Ty Cole was one.
Ty Cole was
one. Who I think is the leading scorer. But I'm just saying there should be more guys on that watch list. So, Mark, I'm talking about from a Michigan perspective, were they winning when Tom Brady was there?
I think Michigan has always had a 75, you know, 750 winning percentage or better every year, probably for the last 30 years. You know, so did they have a winning record that year? I don't know, but I know Tom Brady was a good quarterback at Michigan, and you know, I think Wed led them to probably an 8-2 season or something like that.
Right. Well, you're huge as a perspective guy, so you're talking about looking back from an NFL perspective at Tom Brady, and he went on to be this. I'm not looking at it from that perspective. I'm looking at the Pats now.
You want to sell tickets.
Right. Well, I wanted them to win tonight, and I want to be entertained. And the guys from the Pats podcast writing in here, which I watched on the weekend, they said the Pats didn't have anyone ranked because we don't have any high-end talent. It's all lower-end guys, and honestly, I'm not surprised, and it shows on the ice. The only reason I'm bringing this up
you're a fan.
Is I'm a fan, and I had it in my notes to talk about in the warm-up. But you didn't show up because we delved into the Argo thing. That's all that...
It's a great discussion, but that comes back down to the marketing group, comes back down to the team in how they have to deliver that message. And this is a great time to do it because the watch list comes out. You don't have any players on your roster that are on that list. And the guys
scary.
With the Pats cast, yeah, it'd be a lower-end talent. Well, Of course. You just had the great two-year run. And you just had the Memorial Cup, and you had all these great things happen. And it's going to be a rebuild. But you have to let your fans know and your team know kind of what the expectations are. Because if you try and be competitive every year or let them know that, hey, come to the rink because we're good, come to the rink because we're good, and you're not, you keep disappointing. That's never a good thing. Overcommit, underdeliver. Undercommit, overdeliver. It's that we're looking 3 years down the road before we start seeing this Pats team competitive, like really competitive, or 2 years down the road before we're going to start seeing the group that we're drafting because of Jake Lecision and stuff that will be on the NHL watch list. Start relaying, okay, nobody's on the watch list, but our big guys are coming next year, and they're going to be on the list next year, and our guys 2 years from now are going to be on that list. That's where they're going. So we're still in that pain process of 3 to 4 years. Long time in Saskatoon, 6 years, right, before they started becoming good.
Fine. And that's why...
But you have to let that get the message out.
That's why I had to bring this up, Marshall, and I know it's not football talk at this point with you, but...
I can talk hockey.
Right. Well, and the talk in the gym this morning was, which you didn't say hi, by the way. I saw you coming up the steps. Were you too good for me? But...
I was focused
right,
on my workout.
People are starting to say, they need to get rid of that Paddock guy. They need to get rid of that Struce guy. And I'm like, stop it.
Yeah.
The owners love John Paddock. Paddock loves Dave Struce. The owners love them both. They're not going anywhere. So go to the game, stuff your face full of hot dogs, and let's visit and have fun, but we're not going to win for a while. And deal with it. Because you had a great run, as you said. Anyways, we'll get to more of these points and more on today's news in the CFL. We do have to take a timeout. It's the Rod Peterson Show on this Tuesday morning on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the greatest auto sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's greatest auto sale.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody, on a Tuesday morning, October the 8th, coming to you from the bunker in Western Canada. Morning sports update here for Ballers Rec Room. A Toronto Argonauts legend is returning to the team as general manager. Mike Pinball Clemens will replace Jim Popp as Argos GM. The Argos fired Popp this morning. The team is last place in the CFL at 2-12. More roster moves for the Winnipeg Jets. The team has placed center Brian Little on injured reserve and granted a personal leave to defenseman Dmitry Kulikov. The Russian is the second Jets defenseman to go on personal leave, joining Dustin Byfuglien. Two teams have split the CFL's weekly top performer honors. BC receiver Brian Burnham, Lions quarterback Mike Riley, and Riders receiver Shaq Evans are the CFL's performers of the week for Week 17. Justin Verlander will start on 3 days of rest as the Houston Astros try to put away the Tampa Bay Rays in Game 4 of the AL Division Series today. It'll be Verlander's second career start on short rest. The other came after a one-inning, rain-shortened appearance in the 2011 ALDS. And ticket sales are becoming an issue in the Major League Baseball playoffs. Three of four playoff games failed to sell out yesterday, leaving lots of empty seats at Tampa Bay, St. Louis, and Washington. Sub-capacity crowds have become an expectation at the Trop in St. Petersburg, but there were more than striking in other places. That is, again, the morning sports update. For ballers, I will say this. The Yankees are off to the ALCS, and I'm not even a Yankees fan. However, they get me watching in the playoffs. There's something about Yankee Stadium. Dun, 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 dun. That's awesome. That's theater. Hey, Marsh?
I had a chance in 78. I was going to school in New Haven, Connecticut at Yale University, and we got some tickets to go see, I think it was the second game of the World Series between the Dodgers and the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. Phenomenal atmosphere. It was just an awesome experience to be there. It was back when Reggie Jackson was playing with the Yankees, and back when he had his own chocolate bar. It was called the Reggie Bar. And when he went to the plate, the field was littered with probably 3,000 or 4,000 Reggie bars just being thrown out on the field. And I don't think it's because the Reggie bars didn't taste good, never had one, but just the atmosphere of their love for him. And when he didn't hit a home run in that game, but when he swung, it was like the whole stadium shook because he had just this massive swing. And it was, I think, the very next game between those two teams, which happened to be out in Los Angeles, where Reggie Jackson hit three home runs in a playoff game or in a World Series game.
Mr. October.
So, Mr. October,
and if they're throwing things on the field in New York, you never know why. But I do remember one time somebody said the Yankees send their fans to Taylor Field in Regina for training and then send them back. So that's the kind of – they got an edge, right? But we were in New York in May of 2010, myself and my beautiful wife, and it was raining, and I wanted to go to the ballpark, and she's like, I'm not going if it's drizzling. And I don't blame her.
Yep.
So we didn't go. She wanted to be in the sun if she was going to go to Yankee Stadium, and it wasn't. Rained the whole week. I went to MSG for a tour, closed for renos. Went to go to MetLife Stadium for a tour. They weren't giving them at that time of year. I hated New York. Everything I wanted to do was not happening. But we've been back since and done a lot of those things, and it was great. Weather does affect these things. Anyways, what was my point on all of this? To those CFL notes that I said. We talked about this last hour. Darren, you're a big guy in marketing and branding. The people from Southern Ontario, CFL fans that I follow, are saying this might be what the Argos need to become relevant again in the market, is have Pinball Clemens. I don't know what it takes. I've never lived in Toronto. I'm not going to be arrogant enough to say that I do. Never spent one day living there. I don't know what it's going to take. Because you know it's been. This might be moving to BMO what it'll take.
No, the answer is simple. What it's going to take for the Argos to be relevant is you get rid of the Blue Jays, the Leafs, and the Raptors.
And then the Argos will be relevant.
Well, just by process of elimination, But it doesn't hurt to get personalities in there, people that the community can relate to, people who feel like he's one of theirs, right? Pinball's the right guy. He's just one of those guys who just attracts. He's magnetic, right? He just attracts the attention. And that's what the team needs. The team needs to just attract attention no matter what. And they need people that will do that. When's the best era? I mean, when you had Doug Flutie, that attracted attention. When you had John Candy and the Rocket, that attracted attention. Now you're going to bring in Pinball. And if it's Corey Chamberlain, great. If he sticks around. But if it's not, bring somebody who attracts attention, who has a name, and start surrounding yourself with players and market the players. You know, you're not going to market Argonaut football as this long tradition, and the community is not going to attach themselves to it.
But
in that community, if you can market the stars, you know, market.
Name one you'd market.
Darrell Walker. I'd market the heck out of Darrell Walker. If they can get a quarterback in who's got some personality and who can play, market the heck out of him. James Wilder Jr. Market the players, not the brand, and get the people to come in.
I would be marketing the hell out of pinball. I would have had them on every billboard. Forget about the players.
Absolutely.
But, you know,
100%.
Sometimes we forget when we get on in age. And by the way, funny comment from Joe in New York watching this morning. He says New York is overrated. I guess that's why he's watching our show, based in Western Canada. But anyways, somebody wrote on Twitter this morning, Pinball Clemens, he's not qualified to be a GM. What are you talking about? I called. I had the opportunity to broadcast Pinball Clemens' last game as a player. The next week, he was the head coach. It happened within a week in one of those strange, only in the CFL moments. You guys might remember. It's going back a long ways. I think it was 01. He is a supremely, supremely, supremely talented guy that can do whatever he puts his mind to.
Yes.
And to be a general manager of the Toronto Argonauts, I could think of nobody better other than maybe Eric Tillman, whose name came up today. Now, I've heard rumors that he is associated with other teams, that maybe that's a road that we'll go down later on in the program today, or maybe tonight, Marshall, on the television. Tillman was not considered in this role because pinball's the guy. And the other thing that I heard, I mentioned last hour that I had talked with people with the Argos, this Bill Manning, the president had been of the Argos, had been present the last few weeks, and that's rare. And you know yourself, Marshall, you've been around a long time. And Darren, you know things too. When that's like the thumper walking through the forest or the death knell. Yeah. Something's going down when this guy's walking around. Everybody could feel it, and they knew it was coming, and today it happened.
Yeah. When the boss's boss shows up, you usually know something serious is happening. But let's go back to pinball for a second and say people that say he's not qualified to be a general manager. What qualifies somebody to be a general manager? You look around the league, they're almost all former players. They're all retired from playing. They're all smart guys. They're all leaders, and they've got contacts throughout football. Well, pinball's got all of those things, and he's got some things that other people don't have. He's got a personality that's contagious. He's got a leadership style that's contagious. If pinball said, come on, guys, we're all going to run through that brick wall, most of the guys would say, sure, pinball, I'm right with you. And they wouldn't say, I'm behind you. They say, I'm right with you, because pinball's one of those guys that people will do stuff for. And if pinball calls you and says, I'd like to talk about players, or I'd like to talk about trades, or like to talk about talent, whatever, he's the kind of guy that can get his foot in the door or his phone call answered because of his personality and his reputation.
And name and who he is.
And there isn't, I don't know one person that doesn't like and respect Pinball Clemens.
Yeah.
I couldn't name any.
Have you ever heard anybody say anything negative about him?
No.
Yeah. Let's not forget, I've been in the game for 20 years. You hear negative stuff about everybody. I didn't believe it.
But they might have said it because they were jealous of him.
Because
of how talented he was. And, God, we got to play pinball again this week. And he always returns a punt for a kickoff against us. You know, so, yeah, I'm a pinball fan.
Right. Well, I've been around him tons. And the interesting thing about him is that he's always got time for you.
Yep.
He always remembers you. And he's one of those guys, I would say, similar to Pat Fiacco, that when he's talking to you, makes you believe you're the only guy in the room. He's not always looking over your shoulder for somebody more important to walk in and ditch you. That is a quality, Marshall, that I don't think you learn. I think you're born with.
I'm going to argue with you there and say, no, I do think you learn it, but you learn it at a young age from your parents. You learn it at a young age from impressionable people. You learn it from an important teacher or an important, but most likely your parents. You know, if you're that way, chances are your mom and dad were that way.
Right. So. Okay. We're going to New York City now. Speaking of New York, our good and longtime friend Julie Stewart Binks joins us on video chat this morning. The great JSB, of course, now of Drinks with Binks and Call It a Night. You know her resume. I think a lot of our viewers do. ESPN, Fox Sports, CTV Regina. Good morning, Jules. How are you?
Hey, Rod. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on. I love seeing this new show, and it's great to join you from New York. So
well, thanks. A lot of big smiles on the program today, yours and mine, and all the guys in the bunker, because things are going great, and they are with you. For those that remember watching you on CTV Regina, it's been quite a wild ride since, and I'm not going to ask you for an update, because we only have another 30 minutes in terms of what you've been doing. What are you doing now? Let's just go there.
Okay, so first of all, I don't always wear a tie. This is just sort of part of the shtick with this new show, Call It a Night. It's kind of like a sports comedy late night type of show. And earlier, a couple days ago, James Corden from the Late Late Show called out Fubo TV, which is the network that I work for now. And so we did like a little tongue-in-cheek thing back to him today, and then also asked him to come on our show because he wants people to sign a petition to get rid of streaming services, which we are. So we're now asking people to sign a petition to get him on our show. So we're having a lot of fun. We have a lot of different guests. We've had people from Dan Patrick on, to Nick Mangold from the Jets, to James Wisniewski last week. And it's really just a chance for me to kind of show my personality while also talking sports and getting a little weird, because I started doing stand-up comedy last year, which no one would ever expect because I'm not funny at all. But it was really great to learn that side of just writing and performance. And so I've been doing that. Drinks with Things is also, it's just a show where you can sit, have coffee, water, wine, whatever you want, and we just discuss anything. So it's been fun. Still work at CBS, still work at SNY. And it's expensive to live, Roddy, in New York. So you gotta hustle. You gotta work a lot of different jobs here.
Well, I know you were never afraid to do that, and I knew you'd be a success no matter what you do. But I gotta say this: Darren DuPont, our co-host here, is like the biggest Dan Patrick fan in the world. Of course, people would know him from Sunday Night Football and ESPN. Do you want to take over with any questions? No, just any questions with Julie for her interview with DP.
Yeah, what was he like?
I showed him a picture, and he almost fainted. That when you had him on this,
it added that just stamp of credibility, right? It's a big deal.
That it is great. I mean, Dan is actually a friend of mine, and I met him when I did the Sochi Olympics in 2014 for Fox Sports. We met in a sauna with Chris Chelios, Michelle Kwan, Jay, and Dan were also there.
That's a show in itself,
NBC's,
right?
I know. We should have done something there. That was NBC's hotel gym, and we didn't have one with Fox, obviously. So we snuck in there. And then ever since then, Dan's been great. He's been a mentor, a friend. He's always busting my balls. Like, he is the same guy you see on air as he is with me. And so when he came on my show, I had 48 minutes with him, and he was just so hilarious, trying to hijack the thing the entire time. He tries to get into my personal life. You know, he's great. And, you know, Rod, he kind of reminds me of you in a way, because you're very personable. You're also very knowledgeable, but just that comfort with your guests. So the two of you are very similar.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Marshall's got something.
I can't help but ask this question, but Chris Chelios was known for riding an exercise bike in a sauna. You know, that's the kind of athlete and conditioning that he would go through. So when you went in the sauna with Chris Chelios, was he on a bike?
You know, it's funny you say that, because it was actually Michelle Kwan who was doing yoga in the sauna, and Chelios would have been right there with her if he had the bike. But he was a fascinating specimen, because he would have like 24 beers the night before, then go to the gym, work out, jump into the cold tub, and he'd be back. Like, he didn't have a hangover. And he was the oldest one of us, and the rest of us were just struggling every day, having, you know, like the worst hangovers of all time. And Chelly was just bounce back king. So learned a lot from him, but he was a great teammate, as I can imagine he was for so many other people.
I'm sure these are questions you did not expect this morning about Chelly, which is...
Oh, no, I love it.
Okay, good. Now, the other thing, I mean, obviously I'm following very closely what you're doing. We were good friends when you were here. And I love the fact that you're playing that Canadian thing. You're in your Leafs jersey all the time. So I just want to get serious for a moment about the Leafs. Is this the year, or is Mike Babcock the first fired in the NHL? Because it seems to me like it's going to go one of two ways.
Okay, I don't think he's the first fired in the NHL, but that is a really great question, because it's not the year. I just get a vibe it's not the year. I mean, the fact that they've lost the last two games isn't a great sign, but even just coming into the season, the whole Auston Matthews off the ice stuff, and the fact that, like, Tampa's going to be good again this year. The Bruins are going to be good. And those are your two roadblocks in the Atlantic. So I don't know. I've been spurned before, so I'm truly no expectations for success. It was really great, really riding the Raptors bandwagon last year, because that gave me something to cheer about. And you mentioned I really ride that Canadian thing here, and you got to lean into it, because it's amazing how many Americans don't give any credit to Canadians. And so that just makes me want to lean into all this more.
Well, it's funny. You're a Toronto girl. Does New York make your hometown feel like a small town, or do you see some similarities?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, here it's the most intense city in the world. It's disgusting everywhere you go, but it's a lot of fun and there's a lot of energy and excitement. And we stay up till 4 a.m. We sing karaoke. We do everything in the entire world. Toronto does feel like a small town. But I will tell you, Rod, most people think I'm from Regina because I carry that Regina card with me. I tell the whole world about it. Most people have never even heard about it before. I tell them, I regale them tales of Weyburn and Estevan and Saskatoon and Prince Albert Raiders and all that great stuff. We talk about the Saskatchewan Rough Riders all the time. So I feel as though the Sask Tourism Board should 100% be paying me because, you know, I'm getting everyone in Regina.
You know, it's funny you say that. I know why you're saying you're from Regina. When you say it to an American,
it's a city that rhymes with fun.
You're from where?
They lose their mind. You can't even tell them a story. I'm like, oh yeah, when I worked at CTV Regina, da da da. They're like, they just get distracted by that fact. Like,
what did
you say? When we were five, like when we were five, it was like, oh, that's funny. But now it's like, that's just the name of the city. Like, get over it.
It never fails. Stop. Where? Yeah. So, well, Julie, keep it rolling. As I said, we're following it very closely up here. I knew you'd be a success. So don't be a stranger. And we'll visit you next time we're down there.
Yeah, and man, I got to come back for a game. I haven't been to the new Mosaic Stadium, and it's been a while since I've been back in Regina. So I'll hit you guys up if I make it up there.
Well, please do. It's got a huge MetLife Stadium feel, very similar. So.
Oh, great. Yeah. We have a winning team. Good.
Right. Yeah, MetLife does not. Yeah. Thank you, Julie.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
JSB joining us from New York this morning. Marshall, you didn't know. Now you're a fan, right?
Of what?
Her. You got to check these shows
out.
Oh,
she's a very likable person. I didn't know who she was until now, but very engaging.
But it seems like she wasn't at CTV Regina very long, but it was very memorable. Obviously, look at her personality.
Well, and our Facebook feed's coming up with new show ideas. Look at Tyler's...
Hot under the collar, a sports show and a sauna. Well, look, Marshall and I go to the same gym. And for whatever reason, Marshall doesn't... what should I say? You don't grace us in the sauna or steam with your presence. Why? Are you scared to come in
you
there?
You and I have had a chat in the sauna at least once. Okay. But I'm usually on an agenda of, well, I got to go this, and you know, spending 15 minutes in the sauna is not one of those things.
Well, it's huge on mine. It's why I go. But where do you think I come up with not only show topics, because that's what people are talking about, is what's in the gym. It's like, it's show prep for me. That's what the boys were saying today.
Coffee roll in the steam.
Right.
At the treadmill.
And don't get me started on the scoops that I get from there, too, which you know because you see who the people are that.
But if we're going to do that show, are we going to be doing yoga and on the bike in the sauna? Or are we just.
Why not?
Or do we just pretend it's a sauna? Or do we actually have to have sweat dripping off us? And are we wearing clothes or are clothes optional? Like, this is a whole bunch of questions that come to my mind.
Well, we will sort those out in our post show meeting.
Okay.
And that does remind me of the time that I was doing yoga in the steam at Evolution Fitness. I'll throw that. And Marcus Adams came in there, the former rider. And he's like, What are you doing? I'm like, don't worry, Chunky. I do it all the time. Yeah, Chunky. So I kind of started wearing a towel when I do yoga in the steam room, which Marshall knows.
You do yoga? Do you really do yoga in the steam
room? I just said it.
Well, no towel.
I mean, the only time I've seen you in the sauna, we were sat and visited.
Right. You weren't looking. Right. Yeah, I got it. Let's break. We'll be back. Out of this. More of the CFL news of the day and lots coming up. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Your favorite movies. Your episode after episode after episode season marathon. All in one beautiful little box. With Max TV Stream from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer, you can experience the best of live TV and movies on demand, in home or on the go. Just $99. Entertainment your way, anyway. Get your Max TV Stream media box today for just $99.
Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Your economic security does not lie in your job. It lies in your power to produce, to think, to learn, to create, to adapt. That is true financial independence. It's not merely having wealth. It's having the power to produce wealth. We are your power to produce wealth. We are your freedom to make your dreams your reality. We are your shield against uncertainty. We are your family's protector when you no longer can be. We are your assurance that the light you see at the end of the tunnel isn't a train. We are comfort, clarity, and peace of mind. We are your financial guardian angel. We are 2020 Wealth Management. We are all these things and more. And we welcome you. Come see us and prosper.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Rod Peterson Show continues on this Tuesday morning. It's not breaking news, but we have a breaking rumor. Hang on, let me lift my Rams helmet and we'll get to
you
it.
You got it in.
Yeah. Coffee. Today, as always, provided by Caliber Coffee. Just happens to be in my Trinity Western Spartans mug. From Caliber Coffee Roasters, for the coffee snobs out there, this is the Guatemala Wet Tenenego. As I say, easier going in than coming out. Yeah. Do you want to say it?
What do they say once you say it 10 times, then you'll never forget it?
Guatemala Wet Tenenego. That's the coffee. Don't at me. Just stop in a Caliber Coffee and don't ask for it by name to say the stuff that Rod was drinking on Tuesday. Clean and balanced with notes of dark chocolate and roasted nuts, Darren. Marshall's just smiling.
Marshall's a
like
non-coffee drinker, so talk to Darren.
You don't know what you're missing.
Yeah, we got two new.
It's very good
for the rest of the week. I went and stopped in during the this morning and saw John and he hooked us up with some more coffee.
Okay, good.
So
from Caliber Coffee,
yeah, an autumn roast. I don't know what that is, but we'll try.
Well, speaking of autumn, I like what you've done with the front of the desk down here. I don't know how many people could see it throughout the show. People have been commenting on the decor in here, and I appreciate the work that you did. Now, breaking rumors, if you will, which is almost like an oxymoron. But Nelson from Phoenix writing in, and he says the Bombers and Argos are working a trade for Zach Kolaros. What's new about that is that Davis Sanchez, apparently last week of TSN, said the two teams were talking. Now there's a name attached to it, and that is Zach Kolaros. Now, I'm sorry. I am one of Zach's biggest fans. If I'm going after a Grey Cup, I'm not signing Zach, even for insurance. And maybe he's the only one that's available, but I would be going after James Franklin or McLeod Bethel Thompson. We're told all three are available. Darren, you've been on this Zach Kolaros. What makes you think that he could absorb a hit and not be carried off on a stretcher? Why would you think that?
I have no reason to believe that he would be able to absorb the hit. I don't. I mean, the evidence all points to him not being able to absorb the hit. But I'm not signing him to start. Okay, I'm signing him as an insurance policy. And if he takes a hit and can't play, you're done anyway. Because if your starter Strevler goes down, you got nobody ready to go. I mean, yes, it can happen. You have capable guys, but it's not happening, right? I would rank him Caleros first, then McLeod Bethel-Thompson, then James Franklin right now, because I'm going by who's got the highest floor. And for me, Zach Caleros has the highest floor. If he comes in and you can protect him, he can at least keep the car on the road and give you a chance. His floor is the highest of the three. So that's where I'm going. And it's funny because this rumor is picking up again, and it's picking up steam. But when it had picked up steam last week, as you mentioned, that they were talking. But this morning, Darren Bombing, as the news of Jim Popp's firing came out, Darren Bombing from TSN Radio in Winnipeg put out that because of this, there won't be a trade. He saw the Argonauts as not a trade partner anymore because of a new GM, and that they wouldn't be making any deals, Pinball coming in that quickly. So the fact that the rumor is heating up again just in a matter of hours is very, very interesting heading towards tomorrow's trade deadline.
Well, I appreciate what Nelson's chiming in with. I'm not sure where the report's coming from, and if, Nelson, you want to let us know, that would be great. But Marshall, your take on this. We're 24 hours away almost from the CFL trade deadline, and looks like something might get done.
Yeah, a couple comments. I mean, if I'm Pinball and I'm looking at my roster, Zach Caleros is not our future.
Exactly.
So who's – now, I'm not sure that Franklin is, and I'm not sure that McLeod
Bethel.
I'll just call him McBeth.
What about Hamlet? He said Macbeth.
Oh, Macbeth and Hamlin, yeah. It's like Mozart, the best plays or something. The one that Andy Reid said after their victory, he said, Mozart, not all of Mozart's, what did he say? Not all of Mozart's paintings were masterpieces,
yeah,
or something like that. And everybody in the locker room's looking at him like, Mozart
played the piano.
He was a musician, not a painter. Yeah. But anyway, I digress. If I'm Pinball, I'm willing to trade Caleros because he's not my future. I'm not sure about the other two guys, whether they're the future. So I think there's, if they weren't willing to trade him before, I think they would be willing to trade him now. If I'm Winnipeg, I know that Zach Caleros is not my future either, but I'm only looking for short-term future. I'm not looking for long-term future. So I think there is some strong possibility that that's going to happen. Now, what Zach Caleros brings into the table that, you know, you heard me ask questions of Marcus Crandall earlier, not that Marcus would be on one of those people, but bringing in a Kevin Glenn or somebody that's retired in the last year that hasn't been playing all year long, hasn't been in locker rooms all year long, hasn't been in meetings and film rooms all year long, is harder for them to come in. Zach Caleros has been, although he's been injured and hasn't been playing. So I think Zach Caleros makes more sense than a Kevin Glenn. But I have the same feelings as Darren does. You know, I was willing to say in, you know, whatever it was, January, February, March, April of this year, that I didn't think Zach Caleros could survive a hit. And I'm saying that even more so now after seeing what happened on the third play of the game this year. So I'm not sure he's the answer, but you might be lucky. You might bring him in. He might win a game or two for you. He might survive getting hit. And it's enough to get you over the hump because it doesn't look like Strevler's going to be able to get it done this year.
Checking the poll question before we let Marshall go. It's for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center. As always, did GM Jim Popp deserve to be fired in Toronto? Just two options. Yes, they don't have a quarterback. Or no, it's somebody else's fault. 85% of respondents saying, yes, he deserved to go. So, I guess, Marshall, in the time we have left,
who else would you blame if you're not going to blame the general manager? Who brings the quarterbacks in? The general manager.
Mm-hmm.
The coach doesn't go out and find players. The general manager does. So, I'm on the side of the 85% that say yes.
Yeah, it's funny because when they brought in James Franklin, you're pretty excited. He was very highly, you know, sought after out of Edmonton. And it was Pop who brought him in, right?
Yep.
Out of Edmonton. So I don't think you were, like, displeased with that move. I think, you know, you're happy making that move. It just didn't work out.
Yeah.
So, I guess it goes to Jim Popp.
And let me flip that coin for a second. So, yes, I think Jim Popp, whether it's the blame or the credit, deserves that for bringing in James Franklin. But turning James Franklin into a star quarterback, that's the job of the coaches. That's the job of your head coach. It's the job of your coordinator. It's the job of your quarterback coach. And it's a job, not job, but it's influenced by the others that you surround him with. So The fact that Franklin didn't develop into this star quarterback that we thought he would over the last, you know, when he was backing up in Edmonton and when he was on the roster last year in Toronto, that's on coaching. That's not on general manager.
And then I start, you know, continuing to flip this coin back and forth that we're doing here. Well, who's responsible for hiring the coaches? And who's responsible for having the right quarterbacks coach in?
It's all
day to day. It's all Jim Popp, right? So at that sense, if you have all the right pieces and things aren't working, then you got to start looking at who brought all the pieces together and do we have the right pieces? Who's the maestro at the top, right?
Sorry, you had one more point.
Yeah, and that is, I think one point of clarification. I think you're right that Jim Popp is responsible for bringing in the head coach, but I think the head coaches are responsible for bringing in their assistant coaches, including the quarterback coach and their offensive coordinator. So it's somewhere between those two extremes that we've been arguing down the sides.
Yeah.
Marshall, thanks for the visit. We got a lot covered today.
Always fun.
And we got some gift certificates for you from Industrial Park Cafe and Perkin Taps Coffee House, right? And Roots Kitchen and Bar at 4000 James Hill Road. I'll see you on TV tonight.
Yes.
DuPont and I back with overtime after this break. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcasts at CastBox, Stitcher, and Spotify.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln. We have over 800 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new vehicles and 1.9% on used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the greatest auto sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's greatest auto sale.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
All right, we're back. We're back. All these visits in the break.
I like that. And you're back in 3, 2, 1, go.
The producer runs back into the room.
Door slamming shut.
So much fun around here. It is so much fun. You know, we were talking about the interview yesterday with Sarah Kalan in the program, and, you know, would it be picked up by all of her followers? The interesting people that picked it up was the Fajardo family.
Yeah.
Cody and Laura.
I loved it.
What did Cody say? The interview was gold yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
So that's watching. Fun. The only thing is, I said for the guys to leave the seat down because we had a female in the bunk yesterday, and they didn't listen.
No. What are you going to do?
It's one big locker room around here. Have you understood that?
Hey.
It's one big locker room.
We got a lady in the house.
Clean up.
We already made that mistake with Jackie.
Did we ever? Jackie, when's she coming back, Jackie Perez?
Clark, we got to get on that.
A couple Tuesdays from now, Clark's telling me in my headphones here. Just some comments on the news of the day in the CFL. Jim Popp fired. It's big news, obviously. There's not a GM fired every day. Doesn't happen very often. Doug Cameron, who I believe is in Calgary, writes, Pop may be done in Toronto, but I bet he pops up again in the CFL. It's the CFL way. Mark writes and says, how about Colin Kaepernick for the Bombers? Not that it'll happen, but I bet the Bombers have thought of it. I think every team in the CFL has thought of it, and probably more than thought of it, probably talked about it.
Yeah.
Not recently, but over the course of the past couple of years. But you're not bringing him in now. That's a conversation for December, January, February, not with four games left in your season. But to the trade of the Bombers and the Argos, I absolutely think there will be a trade. I've thought that for a couple of weeks' time. And when Mike O'Shea stood at the podium and said, we're good. Well, A, you can't always believe what you hear or see them say. You can't. What they're saying and what's really going on, a lot of times is two different things. And I'm with Doug Brown this morning in the Winnipeg Free Press writing that if they don't acquire a veteran quarterback, they are waving the white flag on the season because they're not going anywhere with what they have. Huge stones on Doug Brown, by the way, to go out and say that.
Yeah, in that community, that's a big deal for him to come out and say that. You know what? I don't know that they're exactly waving the white flag, but they're going all in on Strevler. And if he's going to grow and give him the opportunity, and more so going all in on Andrew Harris, you know, being able to be the workhorse and that defense, really hoping that they can win you games and win you a championship. But, you know, it's very interesting times. But if you're going to go all in, you need to have an insurance policy if Strevler goes down. That can't be the end of your season.
Bomber fan Steven writing in and says, what do you think that trade will be for? Caleros, McLeod, Bethel, Thompson, or Franklin? Here's what I think's going to happen. With absolutely no inside information, I think James Franklin's going to be traded to Edmonton. And Edmonton has been that under-the-radar team all year. You don't hear anything out of Edmonton. Ever.
No.
But I think if I was them, I would do that. The Argos clearly don't want him. His time's up there. Edmonton needs somebody. He's already been in that locker room. Not necessarily in that offense. Maybe he has been. But I could see James Franklin going to Edmonton. And I could see Zach Caleros going to Winnipeg for all the reasons that you guys have pointed out. I wouldn't do it if I was the Bombers. But as John Lynch says, where there's smoke, there's fire. And that reminds me of this text message that came in from Dan in Regina on the Prairie Mobile text line. Where the heck is it? From Dan in Regina, I know football is a business, but I don't understand how these guys can let a guy like Caleros on the field again and sleep at night. I'm with you, Dan. I don't get it either. I don't get it either. The one thing that I have realized over the past number of years working in that league, and hockey too, is that you can't make that decision for the player. It would be nice if they did, but the doctors are making recommendations. We don't think you should go out. And I'm not saying in Zach's case, but the doctors make their recommendations. It's still up to the player.
Yeah.
And even Mike Riley years ago in Edmonton, you know, Matt Dunnigan called him and said, you've taken some hellacious knocks, man. And Matt is still suffering. And I'm not saying that Zach will or Mike Riley will, but Dunnigan is.
Yeah.
You can't make those players make that decision until they want to make it themselves. And Zach Caleros still wants to play.
Yeah. And that's one thing you kind of say. You can't help somebody who doesn't want to be helped, right? Who doesn't want to make a change.
You probably hear me say that every day.
I do, all the time. It's you know, it'll stick with me. But, yeah, I mean, if he wants to play, then, I mean, try and put him in the best position possible, the best-case scenario. Put him in positions where he's not going to get hit. Don't let him run the ball. Don't let him stand in too long. Let him get rid of the ball quickly. Max protect, sacrifice a receiver, so you can let him have the opportunity to have success. And they're starting to do those things a little bit more in BC with Mike Riley. He's not a quarterback who plays a high-tempo offense where you go quick pass, let your athletes make the moves. No, he's your star. You need to let him sit in there a little bit, pick apart the secondary, and throw the ball where it needs to go. And that's what they're doing now a little bit more.
Well, and so we'll go off air and say that is my prediction again, that James Franklin goes to Edmonton, and if the Bombers and Argos do anything, it's for Zach Caleros. I'm starting to wonder if that'll happen. I'm with Darren Bombing in that a bomb went off in the Argos office today in replacing the general manager. Is Pinball going to come in and start making deals immediately? He might, or everything might be off the table. It's not like Pinball hasn't been at every game. He may be new within that office the past couple of weeks, but he knows what's going on.
Yeah.
And I just think Zach Caleros is an Argo. If he's finishing his career, it's in Toronto. I just can't see them moving him. I can't. But, hey, trade deadline is at 3 p.m. Mountain on Wednesday. I believe that's the correct time. Tomorrow should be fun.
It'll be real fun, I think.
It'll be the trade deadline frenzy right here.
Exactly. Trade deadline special. It's going to be fun tomorrow morning.
And by the way, keep your eyes on 3downnation.com over the next 24 hours because Justin's been doing great work overall, but also great work partnering with us. We've been trying to help him, and it's just fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
So 3downnation.com is your source for all CFL trade deadline related news and rumors. I guess we should go, eh? I don't really feel like I want to go, but isn't we have to.
Isn't that always the truth?
That's the way it is. We got to kick people out here at the end of the day. We'll see you tomorrow. Rod Peterson Show right here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.